everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Soul Focused Radio. This is your host, Martin Friedman, and I'm joined by my co-host, Kristen. Say hello, Kristen.
Hi, everybody.
And our special guest and frequent contributor to our New Mind series, this is Madi Berwick, Madi Davenport. Hey, Em.
Hello, everyone. Hello. Hello. Glad to be on here again.
Yeah, it's so exciting to be able to continue this New Mind series, at Soul Focus Group, because we're really highlighting the spiritual part of our spiritual consciousness and our social consciousness. We spent a lot of time on Soul Focus Radio, I think, digging into the social consciousness with some spiritual consciousness, but the New Mind series really gets us to dig in. And I know both of you are really committed to that spiritual side of our work. What are your thoughts about that, Kristen?
Definitely. I feel like there's a shift that's going on in our world. It has to happen, where we are moving to this more conscious space, this more elevated way of being and really focusing on being instead of thinking and action and a hustle and a bustle, because that has caused so many issues. You know, as we see, there's certainly this trend now around mental health and therapy, and, people are starting to recognize that there is a disconnect in the mind somewhere. And so I think that what we are doing and a lot of what we are talking about from a spiritual aspect is here to bridge that gap between what we know and the culture, or I sort of say it as bridging culture and consciousness. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Kristen.
I would ask, what do y'all think is, calling for this, based upon the things that have happened, the work that people have been doing, socially conscious people like ourselves, what you think has brought this on, this need for more spiritual side of work? And I know for me, when I say spiritual, I'm not talking about religion at all. In fact, if you think religion, when you hear that, you're getting the wrong idea about spirituality. Because we're talking about the intimate relationship you share with yourself, bringing that into the picture, right? So what do y'all think has brought that on? The need for us to bring in that level of consciousness into this work?
Well, I can say, speaking from my own personal experience, and I spent over 14 years in the nonprofit industry, is that, for example, that industry is designed to solve all of these social problems that we seem to never run out of. But we know that the current model is not working. We see that the social problems, they grow, the amount of money that is invested into solving these social problems grows, and there's really no relief. And that also includes the people who are working in those spaces as well, too, because there's an element of having to have or need self-care to be able to take care of yourself to even do that type of work. And so, that it's what brought me out of that space, is because I felt a disconnect and I needed to reconnect back to myself in order to be able to help people to elevate their consciousness. I had to go on that journey myself first. And I'm still on that journey, of course.
Beautiful.
But I think that a big part of the push is people looking around and saying that we're doing all this work and it's not working. So what is it that we need to do differently?
That's an honest assessment. What do you say, Martin?
Yeah, I say the same. Honestly, it's a different version of the same thing, that we were not getting the results that we wanted, and we were a mess. I mean, we say it all the time, but we were a mess. We were not in alignment with ourselves. And that, to me, is a huge reason why we weren't getting the change that we were saying that we wanted, that our external work was reflecting our internal work. And I would say not only were we not encouraged to be in right alignment with ourselves, but I think the vibe of the movement, as I understand it, and helped perpetuate, was that we were discouraged from being in right alignment with ourselves, So I want to just cut this off real quick, Madi. I'm glad you set the stage here, but I want to jump into the conversation, and I'm gonna let you kick us off in just a second. where, you know, just dig in based on these answers. Just let's dig in and let's get into to inner awareness part two with Madi.
At the Soul Focus Group, we're probably one of the first organizations in the social justice movement to find ourselves moving away from fighting against racism to creating human solidarity. What we found is that we could fight 24 hours, 48 hours, or all our lives, and after fighting all this time, we have nothing to show for it, just because we haven't created anything for ourselves. At the Soul Focus Group, we are one of the few organizations who have moved from fighting against racism to creating an alternative to racism. And we invite you to join us. Let's stop fighting and start creating the outcomes we really want to experience.
What I hear y'all saying is this, that we've been ineffective. We were ineffective for a very long time, right? Would that be a correct assumption that we were ineffective? Now, it's hard to admit that, right? It's hard to admit that there was something missing from the movement, something missing from what we were doing. There's a side effect that comes with being socially conscious and doing social justice work, anti-racism work. There's a side effect, and the side effect is you focus on other people and not yourself. And you can really get so entrenched in, you know, being able to point out what other people are doing wrong, what other people need to do to change themselves. And what happens is you take your eyes off of yourself, right? And so this is where the whole idea of inner awareness comes in, right? So when we take our eyes off of ourselves, our consciousness is basically driven by outer awareness, what we see outside of ourselves, rather than it being driven by inner awareness in terms of how who we really are lives inside this body, communicates with what we are becoming or what we are, right? So how who we are communicates with what we are, simply what inner awareness is. What happens is when we become so out awareness focused, everything is out external. There's always performance. We're competing with people. We're comparing ourselves to people. We're trying to please people. We're trying to prove things to people. This is generating or driving our action, right? So you can see how it would create a loop that will cause us to keep doing the same thing over and over again and not getting any different results, which is why we knew that we were being ineffective and needed a change, right? So we needed to bring ourselves back into the process where we were a part of the person being analyzed, not just other people. We had to start analyzing ourselves, why we were ineffective, why we weren't getting the results we wanted, why our lives were going to crap, why we were having suffered from addictions, financial losses, broken families. Those things were indicators that there was something missing, but we were just so busy focused on other people that we didn't see that our house was burning down while we were trying to put out the fire in other people's house. So this whole shift, bringing what we call spiritual consciousness into this work in awareness, is really about bringing the power of our healthy self back into the picture, because our healthy self got out of the picture from focusing on everybody else.
Thank you for sharing that, Madi. I agree with you. And I think, you know, what I would love for you to talk about is, because I hear you saying this, but just maybe explicitly, how is focusing on yourself not selfish? Because I think I run into a lot of people that think that focusing on ourselves is selfish. And that was really the vibe that existed in anti-racist organizing, is that you couldn't focus on yourself because that was selfish. And especially me being like a white man, that would just never be okay. You know, even though everybody knew my life was a mess, me taking time and energy to focus on myself was seen as an extreme negative and very selfish. I would love for you to address that a little bit, because I think that comes up a lot for folks.
Well, you know, to be honest with you, I don't even entertain that, because I think it's foolishness. I think it's a manipulative thing that we use to get people to stay focused on everybody else and not themselves, right? You got to learn to set up some boundaries in your life. I mean, for the longest for myself, I didn't have any boundaries. So if anybody asked me to do anything, I always said yes. You know, I didn't even know how to say no, right? So for me to learn how to say no, I had to get clear with myself about what my soul was really wanting to achieve and accomplish in this world. That requires you to spend some me time with yourself, right? This idea of always being focused on other people does not bring back information about what it would take to fulfill your life, right? Which is what you're here for. You're here to fulfill your life. You can't fulfill anybody else's life but your own. So if you're not taking time to study yourself, to study you and your book, so imagine you are that book that you come here to read and become very acquainted with. You have to take time to do that. I think the whole concept of selfishness was developed, the concept of it was developed to distract people, to make people feel guilty for focusing on themselves. It's a bunch of BS though. I think you should be selfish. Matter of fact, most people need to learn how to be selfish, how to give time to themselves and take the, because if you don't take time from the world is constantly taking time and don't ask you any goddamn questions. It don't ask you, can I take some time from you? It just takes it. So if you don't have the focus, what we call a soul focus, to take the time for yourself, you look up and your life will be, you be in your 60s and you still haven't done what you want, what you really wanted to do.
Kristen, I want to hear from you, but I took that personally, given the fact that I'm a month away from being 60. I want you to know I'm gonna be quiet and just recover from that for just a minute. Because I'm the only one on this call that's about to be 60.
Well, you know, the good thing is you're doing what you want to do now, right? Because most people don't realize you have the power to create your own life. But you can't create your own life if you don't know what really makes you happy, because you haven't paid attention to yourself enough to know what makes you happy. I bet you know what doesn't make you happy. Most people that's listening to this, right, looking at us, you know what don't make you happy. You know what you don't want, and you are very clear about what you don't want. What you're not clear about is what you do want and what will make you happy, because you have not been paying attention to yourself.
Yes, sir.
Kristen, you got anything to add to that?
I second everything that you said. And I think also in our society that any word that is associated with self is in a negative connotation. So when we think about selfishness or self-absorbed or self-centered, like all of these things around self are always taken in this very negative connotation, as to say that we ourselves aren't valuable enough to pay attention to ourselves, and that the value lies in other people. And so we focus on other people. But, you know, as you said or alluded to, that's such a distraction, because how can you help other people if you are a mess yourself, right? And the way that we lead people and the way that we teach people is through our own demonstration. Really, that's really how human beings, well, any beings learn, you know, even animals. Animals learn through the behavior of those around them and through that demonstration. But as humans, we seem to have this sort of twisted mindset around, you know, we learn this when we are kids because our parents say this to us. They say, do as I say, not as I do. Right. And so that's just not how we are set up as beings. We are here to learn from those who have come before us. And so within the nonprofit space or the social justice space, we focus so much on communities without understanding that communities are made up of individual people. It's exactly. Not just a proof of, oh, here's a community. Well, that community has individual people, and those individual people have families, and those families are then what make up the community. So you can't change the community without focusing on self and changing self. You changing yourself and you being the demonstration is the effect that you'll have to others. And so people then will be inspired by your demonstration, and that will inspire them to make necessary changes that they want to make in their lives. And a lot of times changes that they didn't even know that they needed to make in order for them to get back to self.
You know, let's be real with each other, right? We have been socialized to be used. So the things that we've been taught have made us like the perfect person to take advantage of, right? When you don't know yourself and you don't know what you want for yourself, you end up making poor choices for yourself. You end up being taken advantage of by the world. And the world socializes the millions and millions of people to be so unaware of themselves that they keep, well, we keep going in circles with our life rather than really hitting the points we really want to hit. I consider this, I call this the new work. This is the new work. And the new work is when you integrate social consciousness with spiritual consciousness and you become soul focused, right? That's the new work. Because that's the only way you really gonna get regain your power. We have been socialized to be spiritually sadomasochist, right? You know, a sadomasochist is someone who goes through pain to receive pleasure, right? They have to feel pain in order to feel pleasure. But we've been trained to do that. We've been trained that we're supposed to suffer. And the more we suffer, the more eligible we become for one day being in paradise, right? Mm-hmm. So we've been taught to suffer, which is sadomasochism, spiritual sadomasochism, and what we've been taught and socialized to believe in on a core level. And we haven't even figured it out yet. When I say we, I'm talking about the masses of people are really still under the spell of being sadomasochists. I remember when I first realized that, I was listening to a preacher preaching. He was saying how man is hedonistic. And he was talking about, you know, being hedonistic means to seek pleasure and avoid pain. And he said, think about that. Man is hedonistic. He seeks pleasure and avoids pain. And the people in the audience were like, you know, saying amen. Like he was saying something. I was like, they don't even realize what they're saying. Should not you seek pleasure and avoid pain? It's like saying, put your hand on the fire, get burned, and keep your hand on the fire. That's what you're supposed to do. It is in our nature to seek pleasure and avoid pain because it's in our nature to thrive, not just survive. So when we make pain and suffering like priorities in our life, we make surviving priority, and we never get to thriving. We never get to really enjoy what our life is really all about. So we are shifting out of the spiritual sadomasochism to getting into a healthy view where we can enjoy the full gamut of life, not just think that we have to suffer in order to be successful. But we're gonna have some knocks and some bruises that comes along naturally with life. But you ain't got to go look for them. You ain't got to build your whole life around how much you can suffer. That's crazy. That is insanity, right? And that's what a lot of people are still suffering from, that level of insanity.
Hey, absolutely. To the extent as well that we have been so conditioned in our world to accept chaos that when we get to a place of peace, it feels boring. And so we like continue to, you know, invite all of this chaos and this drama and this suffering into our lives. Like we have this addiction to chaos. And, you know, there's always something going on, something happening, you know, whether that's you fighting with family or friends or trying to figure out how you're going to meet your next bill or whatever. It's like we just have this fascination with the suffering side of things and chaotic. And a lot of us, most of us are fearful of going over to the other side of peace and coming back to ourselves because we've been so conditioned, we don't know what that means. A lot of times that does mean you have to let go of certain beliefs. You might have to let go of certain people and you might have to let go of certain situations, but that's a part of you elevating and getting closer and higher to yourself, because why would you still want to be in alignment with people or things that you have outgrown? And so we fear that. And so we will keep going through that whole circle of the chaos and the suffering just to avoid getting to a place of peace, because we believe that being at a place of peace can feel alone.
What's the old saying? Misery loves company, right? That's what I'm thinking about right now. And it does feel like we're in a suffering competition right now. That somehow like suffering gives you points in society right now. And like who can be the most victimized right now, which is crazy, right? Like we're racing to be the biggest victim. We're racing to prove how much suffering we're doing. And all of our energy is going to that instead of our energy going towards racing to who is the most empowered, who is the most on their own side, who is the most in alignment with themselves and other people. Mm-hmm. Like we could just as easily be racing to that, right?
You know, I asked a group of people that I was working with a few days ago to talk about being in competition with yourself. And they thought it was just a great thing to be in competition with yourself. And I said, let's replay that tape again and slow it down. And I want you to say it out. I'm in competition with myself. So I said, now, if you're in competition with yourself, who wins? Right. So they were like, they still couldn't figure it out. And I was like, wow, they're having a hard time figuring it out. So I said, if you're in competition with yourself, that means some part of you is up going up against another part of you. So whatever part of you wins, who wins? Nobody. You don't win, because some part of you always loses when a part of you wins. So I said, so let's consider cooperating with yourself. Let's consider self-cooperation. You being on your own side 100%. How different might your life be if you became that person who was your greatest supporter and confidant, right? If you became that person, since you're with yourself 24 hours a day, shouldn't you be that already? And people have a hard time really getting that because they've been so deeply socialized to be in conflict with themselves that they don't know how to exist being at peace with themselves, like you said earlier, Kristen, right? So, but I think about my life and I think about how chaotic my life used to be, right? A long time ago. And I used to like go back and forth with positive thinking and negative thinking, right? I was dating both of them. I was dating positive thinking and I was dating negative thinking. And I didn't tell both of them that I was dating each other, you know? So one day my inner awareness said to me, listen, you got to make up your mind because this ain't going to work. Now, how I came to that conclusion, how it wasn't going to work, because I knew that negative thinking was not doing anything positive for me. I knew this. I knew every time I went to go date negative thinking, what it did to me, how it caused me to see myself, the level of confidence that decreased in me. I knew this. But I was like, man, but she's so, negative thinking, boy. She does something for me, right? Then I realized that all negative thinking was doing was draining me. So I got to that point, I said, look, I got to make a commitment. I got to go and marry positive thinking and don't look back. And I married positive thinking. It don't mean it was the end all be all to all my problems. It was the beginning of a whole new higher way of living, how me getting in touch with more of my power than I ever had before, because I committed myself to being 100% for me. Now think about that. If you're listening to this, think about how different your life would be if you were 100% for you. And I'm not talking about like you're not going to tell yourself the truth. I'm talking about being honest with yourself, or being honest with yourself in a way that doesn't discourage you, doesn't put you down, but lifts you up. It gives you the strength you need to keep going. You deserve that. You deserve that from you, not from anybody else. You deserve it from you more than anybody else. You deserve it from you.
I agree. And I swear, Martin, you made me think about this time when I co-hosted this event that was meant to be this sort of enlightened circle. And so when we gave everyone a space to just sort of introduce themselves and to talk a little bit about themselves, it quickly turned into a struggle contest. You know, like it was like people could not wait to get up to tell their struggle story. And myself and my co-host, we were just kind of looking at each other like, wow, like this is supposed to be an enlightened, you know, circle. How did it quickly, even though we gave the sort of guidelines beforehand, it's almost like people naturally just gravitate to what has been the source and the cause of their suffering. And that is a repetitive thinking pattern that we have until we make the conscious decision, like you just said, Madi, to say, I'm breaking up with negative thinking and I'm marrying positive thinking. But we have been conditioned in that negative thinking pattern for so long that most of us don't even realize that we are in this negative thinking hold pattern. It just comes so natural to us. And it's generational as well, because generally, you know, how your family reacted to things is how you learn to react to things. And their thinking, you know, it gets passed down to you. And so you adopt their thinking as well, until you might have a set of experiences, or until you get to a place where you're like, I know for me, it really boiled down to me looking at myself in the mirror one day and being like, girl, I am tired of your shit. Like, you got to clean it up, right? Like, I had to get tired of myself, you know, in order for me to sort of click the other side into that positive thinking, and not that toxic positive thinking, because I think that that's another thing that's like happening and trending where people are just like, oh, just be positive and just be happy or whatever. I think that sometimes we forget that consciousness is one thing, but being human is another thing as well, too. And so, you know, trying to not get to a place where you're so conscious that you forget what it is and what it means to be a human, which most of us don't really understand that either, but that you are going to have thoughts and you are going to have these feelings and these emotions. But taking it to a place to where you can observe those thoughts as opposed to becoming those thoughts will, you know, sort of take you over to the tipping point of you understanding that there is this positive thinking side that you need to be on 90% of the time. And that's not to say that that other 10% of the negative thinking that that's not going to happen, because you are still trying to reprogram certain parts of your thinking patterns.
That's so on point, because when you know, researchers say that, we think 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts per day, the average person, right? And out of those 60,000 to 70,000 thoughts per day that we think, 70 to 85% of those thoughts are negative. Now, just think about that for a minute. And then if 70 to 85% of those thoughts are negative, they go on to say that 90% of the total thoughts we think are repeated every day. So when you don't give in to positive thinking, like completely marry positive thinking, you are destined to exist in the 90% of repeating 70 to 85% of negative thoughts out of all the thoughts you think every day. So what do you think that's going to create? You're going to keep making the same decisions, same choices, having the same experience. Matter of fact, you'll be able to write your own history in advance. You could write down what you're going to do from here, probably 10 years from now. It will be the same damn thing that you're doing every day right now. If you don't shift from out of that negative thinking into positive thinking, listening to your inner awareness to help guide you, because that's your inner guru, right? We all have our own inner guru, our own inner God that we need to start listening to that guides us. If we don't learn to listen to it, then what happens is we keep listening to the outer awareness, and the outer awareness is just more of the same that already exists. Outer awareness always supports the status quo. And all the status quo is the past masquerading as the present. And we keep falling for it. We keep falling for it.
There is nothing more powerful than communication, because we all have to do it. And we're all doing it on some level all the time. When we are talking to ourselves or thinking, that's just another word for talking to ourselves, which means that we are doing what? Communicating with ourselves. When we are verbally speaking to other people, our body, or when our body language is demonstrating communication. Communication is so important because the world runs off of communication. So when you power up your communication, you essentially power up your life. At the Soul Focus Group, we invite everybody that comes to really delve into powering up their communication, transforming the way they listen, transforming the way they speak, transforming the way they connect to people, because that is where our power is. Power up your communication, people. We all need it.
Yeah, I so appreciate what both of you just said. And, you know, it feels like positivity has to be earned, just like we've earned our negative thinking. Most of us have earned our negative thinking by putting tens of thousands of hours into it.
Yes.
What just struck me is, and this, you know, a lot of times conversations I get in with both of you get me to this place, like how the brainwashing job that's been done on all of us, where we think we're not in control of our own lives, where we're not in control of our own thoughts. And when I say in control of our own lives, it's, I'm not devaluing the external things that happen to us, but the fact that we've been tricked into thinking that we can't always make decisions that are in the best interest of ourselves, regardless of what's happening, what the outside world is doing. That is like one of the greatest tricks that's ever been done to us as human beings, to me. And I am literally about to be 60, and I'm still in the process of internalizing that.
Well, you know, think about this. The only thing this world had to do to get us to really be in conflict with ourselves is to get us to doubt who we are. So what the world does, and you know, a lot of scientists will talk about this, about how when we are born, we, you know, in our mother's womb, and then when we are born, we are in a theta phase of our theta brainwave phase, right? So that's like we're in a hypnotic state and we're taking in information as if we have been hypnotized, right? We learn through observation, and it's during that time when we are also experiencing spiritual amnesia because of the process. We're coming from a spiritual place. That's why we say we come into this world. I came into this world. We never examine where did you come from if you came into this world. So we come from a spiritual place into a physical place, earthly place. In that process, we experience amnesia, so we forget who we are. That's why our body is growing inside our mother's womb to prevent us from having to experience the pain. I talked about that before. So at that point, you don't know who you are when you're born. You're like trying to figure it out. That's when the world starts pressuring you to make you believe that you should know who you are. So the world asks you who you are. And if you say you don't know, which most of us said we didn't know. I don't know who I am. So who you want to be? And the world starts telling you who you possibly should be, could be, or maybe you want to be. That becomes this what I call the second mind. Because the first mind is your soul, right? It becomes the second mind, which is your ego. Then your ego becomes the mind that's guiding you through this world. And the ego is full of doubt, right? The ego runs off of doubt. It does not believe in you at all. Now think about that for a minute. Our ego, the one that the world assigned to us, does not believe in us at all. Matter of fact, it believes we're not good enough, we're unworthy, and some of us will take that to the grave, that we think that's who we are, right? So what we're doing is, the new work is about letting go of the old ego and creating ourselves a brand new one, a brand new mind, a new mind that is in harmony with our soul. Because the mind should be a mirror to the soul. You should be able to look into your mind and see every desire in your soul being working to be fulfilled, right? That's not what we see. We see a mind that's in conflict with the soul, which makes us tired, exhausted, pessimistic, doubtful of ourselves. And we just live that. We live out what we believe about ourselves. As powerful as the imagination cannot go any further than our lowest belief of ourselves. So our lowest belief of ourselves ends up being the higher power of our life. So you could achieve some great things in life, but guess what? You're not going to enjoy them because what you believe about yourself won't allow you to. You see all these entertainers and these people who do great things, have created and invented great things. I mean, it's like, wow, how could you even think about how to create that? And then they're committing suicide. They're drinking themselves to death. They're breaking up from their families. Why is that? Because what they believe about themselves would not allow them to enjoy the beautiful things they created. So I think it was Dr. Ernest Holmes, the author of the book, The Science of the Mind. He says, you may not always get what you want, but you damn sure will always get what you believe. So you can get what you want and not want it because you won't even allow yourself to enjoy it, which is most of people's problem. You get what you want, then you don't want it because that's what happens when you're in conflict with yourself. Man, I really, really want that. And you get it. And then the bad thing is it'd be people you go after like that. You know, it'd be mates that you want. Say, I really want to be with her. And you go after her with all your might. And you get her and be like, I don't want her, man. I don't want to be with her. Now, you didn't waste that person's time. You didn't evoke that person's energy, that person's feelings. And you figured out now you didn't really even want to. Well, how did that happen? Because of the conflict within yourself. Right. So if you got rid of the conflict first and you were able to see with clarity what your soul really wants, then you would be able to experience getting what you want and then wanting it even after you get it. But that's another one problem in our society. People get what they want and don't want it when they get it. The world is full of waste because of it. Waste people, wasted material, wasted ideas, wasted opportunities. Because we think we want something that we really don't want because we're not clear enough about what our soul wants in the first place.
So how do you rid yourself of the conflict?
You got to do the new work. You got to replace that old mind. You cannot get around it, right? If you're in a mind that believes you are not good enough or believes that you are unworthy, that's a dangerous place for your imagination to live. It's why it's so dangerous, because no matter what you do, you're not going to be enough. No matter what you achieve, no matter how you get on the spectrum, you're not going to be enough. I remember one time I was doing a speaking engagement, and it was like a thousand people in the audience. Man, it gave me a standing ovation. I'm like, wow. And you know, it didn't take my corrupt mind only a few seconds to find out what I did was wrong. And even though I didn't even allow myself to enjoy a standing ovation from 1,000 people. Think about that for a minute. But that was the same thing that happened over and over again. Everything great that I would achieve, I couldn't enjoy it because my corrupt mind would always find something wrong with me that why I didn't deserve to enjoy that. You don't deserve to enjoy that. You don't deserve to be happy with what you got. You got to go create the next thing. What about the next thing? You got to do the next thing. So we always going on to the next thing, and we don't even celebrate the thing we've just achieved. Why? Because you're not worthy of celebrating that. You're not worthy of being feeling good about yourself. How dare you feel good about yourself? And then you have a world of people who come tell you that you shouldn't feel good about yourself. So when I got to the point, let me check this out, y'all. When I got to the point where I was consistently feeling good about myself, I was afraid to tell people that I was feeling good about myself. So folk would say to me, how you doing, my D? And my spirit would want to say, man, I'm doing great. Things are going swell. And I'd be like, I'm all right, man. I'm all right. Mm-hmm. Because I was afraid that if I went 100% with saying to people, things are going great, I'm happy, I'm feeling good, that something was going to happen, right? And so that was a stage that I went through. And the next stage was completely committing to the new mind. And if you're going to have a new mind, you're going to have to create it. It doesn't exist. Nobody else can create it for you. That's why it's your new mind. It's going to be tailored to your soul's desires and wishes, not mine. So, but you have to create it yourself. So that's what the new work is about, creating yourself a new mind that works only for you. That's deep. Because the world gave us a mind that worked for everybody, not us. We're the last one our mind worked for, the mind we have now. Most people have what I call the assigned ego, which is the mind the world gave to you. And if you want to know if you have it, all you got to do is look for these five habits. If you compare yourself to other people all the time, you got that old mind, right? If you're trying to prove stuff to people, if you're trying to please people, if you're trying to impress people, and if you're competing with people on a regular basis, you are in the old mind. That mind is not designed to work for you. It's designed to get you to become a servant of this world. Something to think about. Because every audience I've ever worked with, everybody got those habits. Everybody got those habits. Because it ain't something that some of us are special and some of us are not. We all have been touched by the same socialization. We all have been impacted by the same socialization. So we all have to do the same work. We all have to do the new work. Create a mind that works for you. That when you wake up in the morning, you look in the mirror, all you see is beauty. All you see is genius. All you see is magnificence. That's what you need to see when you look at yourself. Not, oh, look at how she looks. Oh, man, I'm so tired of this. And why wouldn't you be tired and exhausted at the end of the day if you're wrestling with your damn self all day long in your head? That mind has to go. And if you're interested in learning how to do the new work, then you need to call us. You need to become a part of the Soul Focus family because we're doing the new work. And this new work is going to be the work that takes over everything because there's no other work for us to do but to get out of this old mind into a new mind.
Thank you, my D. That feels like a mic drop moment. You know, I think we can close out. Kristen, you mentioned earlier, you know, that we're headed for a shift, you know, and I think a lot of people are not clear. I think a lot of people feel like we're headed to a shift, but we're not clear what that shift really is. And I think, my D, you just laid that out so beautifully, that the shift is back to ourselves, not to anything external, not to change into anything, but just to get back to who we are 100%, see ourselves as the beautiful geniuses that we all are. And I know both of you believe in that strongly. And that's what I'm feeling in this moment.
Well, you know, we talk about the genius study, right? We talk about that all the time, right? In all our workshops. You know, 98% of those 1,600 kids tested as creative genius at 5 years old. It's safe to assume that all of us are creative geniuses. But we are socialized out of it because we are socialized into a mind that does not reflect our genius back to us. That's deep. So the world gives us a mind that does not reflect our own genius back to us. Matter of fact, it starts looking for stuff that don't even exist. Like, you're not good enough. You're unworthy. That stuff don't even really exist in you. It does not exist in your soul at all. It only exists as a concept out in the world. Now, here's the crazy thing. I'll say this because I got to say this. All of this stuff is imagined. If I asked you to point to your mind, where would you point? Most people point to their brain, but your brain is not your mind, correct?
Right.
Your brain is not your mind. So where is your mind? Mm-hmm. You cannot point to your mind because your mind is a spiritual thing. If your mind is a spiritual thing, that means it's an imagined thing. It's imagined. So is your soul. So is your spirit. These are all imagined things. Yourself is an imagined thing. So if you can imagine whatever the hell you want to imagine yourself to be, why in the hell would you imagine yourself to be not good enough? I'll wait. If you got all the choices in the world to choose to imagine, why would you want to imagine yourself, the person you were 24 hours a day, as not being good enough? Only because somebody taught you to do that, and you'd have to be out of your mind to do it, which we have been. We've been out of our true mind. In the mind, this toxic mind the world gave us to live with, which is why billions of people do not enjoy their life right now. This is the new world.
That's deep. Nope. I felt that.
Me too. That's our real mic drop moment.
Bam.
My genius, my power, my optimal functioning. My genius, my power, my optimal functioning. Repeat after me. My genius, my power, my optimal functioning. That is the jingle of the Soul Focus Group, because we are dedicated to helping you recover your genius, your power, and your optimal functioning. We want you to recognize the unique way that you comprehend things, express yourself, experience, and create in the world. We want to help you recover your genius, your power, your optimal functioning.
Well, that was an incredible conversation, Kristen and Madi. I really enjoyed it. I felt it. I know, Kristen, you said you felt it too. And Madi, one thing that's really sticking with me of what you said at the end of our podcast was you talked about how knowing that we're imagining all of this is empowering. And I think there's an instinct a lot of us have that if this is all made up, then we think about, oh, if it's all made up, it's not real. And that feels disempowering. As opposed to, you're framing the same thing that could be disempowering. You're saying, actually, it's the most empowering thing in the world, because if it's all made up, we can make up whatever we want.
Well, here's the question. Why would you imagine it being disempowering?
Yeah.
The power to imagine whatever you want to imagine. Why would you imagine that's disempowering? Because you want somebody else to be in charge of you? Is that what you want? You want somebody else to be? See, that's the thing. Most of us want somebody else to be in charge of us. No one is in charge of you, and no one is responsible for you. At the end of the day, no one can take you off the hook for being responsible for the things that you desire from life. That is your responsibility. We in the Soul Focus Group, we say, any thought, idea, or concept that takes you off the hook, that you believe takes you off the hook for being responsible for what you say you desire, is bullshit. And we got a lot of bullshit. When you come with bullshit, we help you get rid of the bullshit so you go home without some shit in your drawers. Because most people are walking around with shit in their drawers because we've been listening to this and going off of this stuff for so long. This is your life. It's yours. I tell my daughters that all the time. Remember, it's yours. It ain't Johnny's life. It ain't your teacher's life. It ain't my life. It's yours. What are you going to do with it?
We're just taught to not be responsible. That's all. We're taught from our early age to not take responsibility for the one thing that we can take responsibility for. And that's what you just said, that our life is ours. Kristen, you have final thoughts about today's conversation?
Deep, and just exactly what I need, you know. So having these conversations is, I would say, therapeutic for all of us, especially me. I can't speak for anybody else. Because it always brings back to the forefront why I do the work that I do, you know, why I made the transition that I made. and just how much this is needed, you know, and how this message and these messages really need to be amplified, you know. And then I love the dynamic also because it makes it so relatable, you know what I mean? Like even how we talk about these concepts and laying these out. And so I'm just grateful. And I just, that's what I'm ending with, is that I'm just very grateful always to be here in these conversations and to learn more about myself as we talk.
Beautiful.
Yeah. And Kristen, we're so grateful to have you as a part of what we do, because you've pushed us, you know, even stronger into a direction we were already headed, just because of your enthusiasm and your connection and your commitment to grow and evolve. Yep. 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 Well, and remember that, you know, to all of our Soul Focus Radio listeners, remember that we love and care about each and every one of you. We know you listen to us because you are committed to grow. You're committed to evolve. You're committed to living your best life. You're committed to being 100% on your own side. We know that. We know that that's why this podcast is growing, why our movement is growing. We want you to go to soulfocusedgroup.com. Check out everything that we do. If you're watching on YouTube, look in the comments for all of our links to all of our social media. And we're just so excited to have you all as part of this journey. And we will ask of you what we always ask of you, and that is that you stay safe, you stay well, and most of all, you stay soul focused.